On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. When I was a pastor in the Yakima, Washington area, about a year into my tenure there, a young man in his early 20s named Jamie started coming to church. I liked Jamie. He showed up on Sundays in a suit and tie and had a great self-deprecating sense of humor. One Sunday, a member of the congregation, a teacher in the Yakima School District, spotted me talking with Jamie after the worship service, and he wandered over and said, "You know, I coached Jamie's 6th grade basketball team." And then looking at Jamie, he said, "You were good." As soon as his old coach had stepped away, out of earshot, Jamie turned to me and said, "I wasn't that good." He had to be there, but Jamie had a great sense of comedic timing. I really liked Jamie. And that's one of the reasons I was so shook up after Jamie made an appointment and came to talk with me in my office. Up to that point, I hadn't known Jamie very well, but we talked for hours that day. And at the end of it, Jamie asked me the question he was seeking an answer for. "Is it possible," he asked, pointing at himself, "that I might be Jesus Christ?" Jamie was schizophrenic. I had not known that. And I wondered how could someone who at first seemed to me to be so perfectly rational, who even had a good sense of humor, how could he actually be so irrational and so confused and deluded? Honestly, I thought Jamie was coming to church because he felt a deep longing for God's forgiveness and acceptance. Frankly, the thought even crossed my mind that maybe he was coming because he liked my preaching. It turns out he was coming because he thought he was Jesus. The whole thing really shook me up. It was really sad. It depressed me. But this is why I bring it up. Our gospel lesson describes the sign that Jesus performed at the wedding in Cana. And at the conclusion of the story in verse 11, the Apostle John, the author of this book, wrote, "This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed him." In our world, filled with illness and tragedy and sadness, where do you find signs? Where do you find evidence of God's redemption and goodness in your life? Where do you see the glory of God? You know, this is interesting. When Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was apparently assisting with this wedding at Cana, when the wine ran out, she didn't have to explain to Jesus why this was a crisis. First century Judaism was a culture that deeply valued hospitality. To run out of wine at a wedding that you're hosting was more than humiliating. It just wasn't done. And it was a challenge because weddings lasted a whole week. By turning water into wine, Jesus exhibited his power for the first time. And he'd do it over and over and over again for the next 3 years. He manifested his glory by addressing human suffering or pain or humiliation or even death. But there's a catch. And here's the catch. Those who were the recipients of the healing mercies of Jesus, and those who responded with enthusiasm to his proclamation of God's forgiveness and mercy towards suffering sinners, were themselves suffering sinners. Martin Luther put it this way: God receives none but those who are forsaken. He restores health to none but those who are sick. He gives sight to none but the blind, and life to none but the dead. He has mercy on none but the wretched, and gives grace to none but those who are in disgrace. The idea that God comes to us primarily in our sufferings is called the theology of the cross. And it contradicts the assumptions most of us have about God and life. We assume that God is present in our successes, not our failures. That God is exhibited in our strengths, not our weaknesses. We assume God is seen in the things we like about ourselves, not the things we loathe. But we've got it backwards. If you flip forward a few pages in John's Gospel to chapter 4, you'll read about an encounter that Jesus had with a Samaritan woman drawing water at a well. This was a woman without much success in her life, at least not her personal life. She'd suffered through broken relationship after broken relationship, and now she was on relationship number 6, living with a man who refused to marry her. Her position in society was certainly not one of strength. For one thing, she was a woman in a patriarchal culture, almost certainly dependent on her man for economic survival. For another thing, her living arrangement was scandalous. She was looked down upon and talked about. In fact, that's why if you read this account, you'll notice that the woman is drawing water in the middle of the day rather than in the cool of the evening or the morning, like everyone else did. She didn't go to the well then because she couldn't take it anymore. The insulting looks and disparaging comments. This was a woman who liked very little about herself. It's not any stretch at all to assume that she was well practiced at self-loathing. We get our cues from others. Others didn't like her. And yet, it was to this woman that Jesus chose to reveal himself as the Christ. He could have chosen someone who was successful and strong and pleased with himself, someone important and influential, at least a fellow Jew instead of a hated Samaritan. But instead, he came to this woman in her failure, in her weakness, and in her self-loathing. That's the pattern of Jesus. It wasn't only the immoral Samaritan woman. It was also the sick, the grief-stricken, the scared, the demon-possessed, the hated and the ridiculed, the depressed, the crazy. Those are the recipients of God's forgiveness and acceptance and love. We don't climb up to God with our self-perfected holiness. He comes down to us. And that's where we see the glory and goodness of God. It's in God's response to our suffering and our sadness and our struggle. I don't know what ever happened to my friend Jamie. I can't imagine the suffering he experiences or his family experiences. But I do know that in his great mercy, God uses the worst situations for our good somehow. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17 says, "Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love, you have kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back." God has not abandoned those who suffer, regardless of whether the suffering is self-inflicted or seems completely random. On the contrary, God comes to us who suffer and somehow creates good out of our anguish and our sins. God puts behind his back where he can't see them anymore. God's glory is in his mercy and love toward you. And its emblem is the cross. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that even that in the sufferings of life, you come to us. Lord, help us to recognize that somehow, some way, you use our suffering and our anguish to create good, that's your mode of operation. And fill us with gratitude that you have forgiven our sins and accept us completely. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.